Dear Lord, thank you for giving us this opportunity to conclude this year around thy word in thy house of worship, where it is good for us to be. Bless us from thy word, by thy Holy Spirit. Once more, we thank thee for the blessings of this day and of this year. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Dear ones, for this afternoon's meditation, I'd like us to turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we would read first 13 verses, I believe. Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have heard, both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, but both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I thought this is a farewell letter to church at Philippi. It addresses many things, and somehow those things that he touches upon are things that happen in the life of a church, that happen in the life of individuals. And we are at this moment in time now, we just celebrated the birth of Christ, And as Brother Joe spoke this morning about, that he has come that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. And now we are at the end of the year, and we are looking at a new year, if the Lord should tarry. So there are many things that can come to our mind. As there are a few things that the apostle thought about when he was first acknowledging his passionately love for the brethren, brothers and sisters in that church. He said they are his joy and they are his crown. He has come to love them. And the first thing that he wants them to remain stable and steady in their walk of faith. He said, be fast in the Lord. Stand fast. Stand fast in your faith that you embraced. And as you just heard why Jesus came to give us that abundant life and how undeserving that was, but how all important it is that all have been given that offer of the free grace to all it pleads. You know, the visitors that we had in the morning, as I sat with them after lunch, asked me what our understanding is, how that offer was, how is that free? Of course it is free because it was freely given. It was undeserving on our part. And then the apostle speaks and calls for unity in the church. And he names two individuals who perhaps were not all that united. Have you been in unity this year? Have I been? How would you feel if your name was written in a scripture? You and you, see that you be of the same mind in the Lord. You don't have to be in the same mind of how to dress, or what kind of car to buy, or what kind of house to live in. Be in the same mind in the Lord. This is the essential thing. And I entreat thee, true young fellow, to help those women that labor with us in the gospel. There's a lot of work to be done in the church. And he has observed some diligent people there. And he says, you are a yoke fellow. Yoke is the thing that one carries the weight, or helps carry the weight, makes it a little bit easier to carry. And he wants all of us to be yoke fellows in the church, in the work of God. And we can look back and see, how have you carried that load, and how you intend to carry it in the coming year. I entreat you, help those women that labored with us in the gospel. And they don't labor in vain. Their names are written in the book of life. By grace of God, they didn't earn that name to be written there, but they are noted. It was necessary, and somebody needed to do it and step forward to become a yoke fellow, to become a co-laborer in the church. In case somebody is misunderstanding this as a criticism, He says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Joy has to be a most essential part of our service. It has to characterize us as workers in God's vineyard. And it encourages. There may be room for improvement. There may be missed opportunities. But we are encouraged as we are thankful for the unity and blessings and love that we have and joy that we have as a fellowship. These things are noted, these things are recorded and encouraged that we pursue and continue in them. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Let your moderation, I think it means gentleness, or as close to what I could discern. We are to become known as gentle people, not as rash and crass and rigid and dogmatic and uncompromising. Yes, Scripture tells us not to compromise with evil, but it says, speak truth in love. Let your gentleness be known. Let this be your and my characteristic in the year to come, that we be known as those that are considered, that are moderate, that are not extremist. He says, I don't give that instruction because I just want it that way. He said, the Lord is at hand. The Lord who is going to come soon. And it's important how we will be known at his coming, how he will find us. At the time of new beginning, sometimes the fear and worries are normal. And he says, be careful for nothing. Don't be overwhelmed with worry. It doesn't say be careless about how you drive or how you behave. Just don't be overburdened with that worry. What's the new year going to bring? You know, how am I going to cope with this? How can I cope with that? We need to look back at the year that is just over and to focus on the blessings that God has been faithful in this year. He has been with us whether the things were good or not so good. He's with us even when we don't realize it. But when we consider, and the time of Thanksgiving was just past. And James says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness or a shadow of turning. This is not a new commandment for the New Testament. They were instructed to be thankful in the Old Testament as well. There are many, many scriptures that point to that. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Are we known as thankful people? Are we known as people that acknowledge that all good and perfect gifts come from above, from the Father in heaven? Thankful people can be easily identified because there is something in their behavior that indicates what's in the heart. Brother Joe talked about this morning about more abundant life and also wasted life. People that never have enough. People that always complain and always somebody else's fault, whatever happens to them. We have that choice to make, and we need to look for the guidance, and guidance is given by Apostle Paul, by the other apostles and prophets, by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit that we talked about this morning. Yes, when we look at the new year, we need to focus on the future and on God's plan for us, because he has plans for our lives, and his plans are not for us to fail, but to succeed, to prosper. His word is given us as an encouragement. And by his Holy Spirit, he has made, as Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. He is giving us that wherewithal that we can look forward in a future year as the Lord will give it to us without overly being fearful or burdened. So he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Somehow, when they are little children, it comes naturally to us to run to mom and dad, says, I want this, I'm hungry, I want this. What is it when we grow up that this becomes inhibited sometimes and we are afraid to ask? We are afraid to acknowledge that we lack something, that we are not able to handle something on our own, but need to come to the Father. And Apostle just says plainly, in everything, don't be selective. And many things we are selective. If I can handle it, I won't ask anybody else. If I don't have enough money, what do I do? When my dad was alive, I'll first go to him, right? If he says, I don't have money, then I go to the bank. If the bank says, your credit is not good, God, what do I do now? Is God our last resort? Paul says it should be our first resort. Let everything, in everything, by prayer and supplication, make yourself request known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, which is beyond understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Promise of peace, promise of tranquility and happiness and that joy that he so willingly gave it to us. And then he addresses our thought processes. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, whatever, think on these things. We need to address the issue of our thought processes of, you know, what do we spend time thinking of? And how important that is for our joy in the Lord. He is addressing also the issue of his personal needs. I rejoice in the Lord greatly now that at last, finally, your care for me has flourished, has blossomed. He said, you were careful. You always intended to do, but you lacked opportunity. You did not have a... So be thankful for the opportunity that you and I had this year to do something that may be good, helpful to the others, and pray for that opportunity to continue. But then he switches focus from them to himself. He said, I don't speak in respect of want. I'm not saying, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. He did not, he was not born in, with that contentment. He says he has learned to be content. You know, I dare say this is a lost art nowadays. Because especially in the land of plenty, in the time of opportunity, and the stock market is up, everything is going great. But what is lacking is contentment. He says, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I have learned to be abased and to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He is instructed and he is instructing you and me, dear ones, that we learn to be as content as he was. Do we find contentment in the Lord and do we give him thanks? You know, as we anticipate a new year, it's important for us to remember that we can only find true contentment only in God. And we all also need to give thanks for that, what he has done and what he will do. In 2 Corinthians, I jotted, so I don't have to page... I don't have to list pages. Paul was not always content, and neither are we. Let's be honest. But he had one particular issue that he was very happy about. He called it sting in the flesh, whatever that is, whatever that was in case, whatever that thing may be in your case and mine. And he asked Lord three times. What answer did he get? And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul gets it. And he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. See, in some maybe perverse way, he has been made aware of how much God's hand is upon him, not by bestowing him plenty, but by having sting in the flesh or infirmities. He said, I would rather have that. I would have rather have that feeling that God's hand is upon me, even though he has to come through my thick head by infirmities, by any some kind of a challenges, one way or another. He said, I would rather glory in that than have everything. I take pleasure, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. You see that connection that the apostle has with Christ? And he is instructing us. And that puts a whole new perspective in our situation, especially when things are not going well. That we think, oh, woe is me. What have I done wrong? Why is this happening to me? Why is she or he doing something to me? And then he feels God's hand upon him, that he is holding him up, lifting him up from that sense of despair or injustice or grievances that he has in his heart. All of a sudden, he is a closer contact and closer communion with him. And in other places, he said, thanks be to God which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we look back, we can see that he is always with us and that he, all things work for good to them that love the Lord. But we don't always feel that, do we? This region in Croatia called Slavonia. It borders Serbia. It's a fertile flat land, rich, and they have their own culture, they have their own costumes, the music, and so forth. And as I was reading about how Apostle said, I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I remember one of their songs that says, he is not happy who has a lot. He is happy who needs a little. In other words, it becomes a matter of perspective. If we always want one more dollar more, as Joe said this morning, sadly, this was considered a joke and something to laugh about. But it's really a very sad state of affair. If our happiness depends on just $1 more, there will always be one more that we would desire. So as we would bring the new year, maybe be full of hope that when it comes, the Lord be in charge, that he will be with us, he will see us through, and he will want us to be instructed as Apostle Paul was instructed, in whatsoever state, to be content. May the Lord bless his word.